Our God is an awesome God, ladies and gentlemen. He's an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. If you will, raise your Bibles, if you will, this morning. And I want you to say, repeat after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same, for I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same, never, 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 I will never be the same, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I'll invite you to go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles. We're not going to go there yet, but Acts, the book of Acts, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, the book of Acts, chapter 2. It'll be a few minutes before we get there, but whoo, what better way to think of resurrection and then all the way to Pentecost, those 50 days. 40 of those days, Jesus was seen among the people, his disciples and many others. In fact, on the 40th day that Jesus, after the resurrection, Jesus ascended into the clouds, and two angels were in the clouds, and they said, you know, why are you looking up? Because the same way that he's going, he's going to return. And before Jesus ascended, there were some 500 people who were present there that morning, and they heard Jesus say these words: I go, but I send you a comforter. And I want you to go and tarry in Jerusalem, and for some reason, for many reasons, I would say it probably has a lot to do with life itself, just the things of life, 380 people who witnessed Jesus ascend into the heaven, 380 people were not present in Jerusalem in that upper room. There were only 120 there when the Holy Ghost was poured out, the Comforter was given. And they didn't know what to expect. And I find it interesting to see the great movie makers of our time. I know Mark Barnett and Roma Downey. They're brilliant. And I know in AD they tried to capture Pentecost. And some, I think, if I remember right, I think they had like fire, tongues of fire above their heads somehow. I don't know how they did that. But I know that... The Chosen, I don't know if they've gotten to that in this season 5. I don't know if they've gotten to depict that, but it's incredible. It's an incredible thing to try to depict. But the problem with that is once we get in our minds that this is what something is, then that's what we try to replicate. Now, this is what's important for you to understand. What God is doing today in this world, I believe that he's at work in the body of Christ. And I believe that he wants the world to know the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that must be preached, that the great price of his son giving his life, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of this world, that this Jesus, his uniquely begotten son, or only begotten son at the time, the reason I say uniquely is because now we're called sons and daughters. Hallelujah. He was the first, the Bible tells us he was the firstborn among many brethren. So it'd be a mistake to try to put us on the same level as God, but there are certain things that we need to understand about who we are in Christ. And I'm going to tell you something, God is not through with this world yet. And there is a great revival coming, and ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you a little secret. We're not going to get there without the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, without measure. And I think that too often we try to do things without the Holy Spirit. And the King James calls them the Holy Ghost. And I've been trying to teach you even before before we got to resurrection, I was talking to us about the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to introduce, because, you know, we know a lot about the Father, and we know a great deal about the Son, but we don't know a lot about the Holy Spirit, and we feel like, well, he's just the lesser of the three. But I don't see that in the Word of God. He's the third part of the Godhead. They're three in one. It's very difficult to us to understand. But if it was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that was actually the birthday of the church, then, ladies and gentlemen, I would say that you and I need to understand who He is in our lives, the Holy Ghost, who He is in our lives. And there is something, and we have someone that's staying with us right now, and he's Ryan's best friend. They're Marines, former Marines. Travis has spent, he's been deployed 9 times with his a bomb dog, and they've served in Afghanistan and Iraq together, and then Travis has gone back many other times, and he had a bomb explode in a armored Humvee, and the door he was sitting by is a 200-pound armored door, and then there is a lock, and I forget what that lock is called, but it you know, to lock it, you have to really pull this lever. And when that bomb went off, the door was slung open, and it was right there on his side. So he's 100% disabled because of something you can't see. He said, you know, I sometimes I wish it was my legs that, you know, people would understand what's happened to me. But it's my brain, and people don't know, they don't understand. And TBI is a real thing, ladies and gentlemen. Post-traumatic stress syndrome is a, and he's a war fighter. But he has been so open these 7 weeks that he's been with us. He leaves this Wednesday, but he's been so open. First he told me, you know, I'm just not religious. I respect you, Pastor, and everything. And in these 7 weeks, we've spent a lot of time together with him just sitting and just talking to me. And I found out that when he was a boy, young boy, he came to Christ. And yet he feels nothing came of that. And so he's at a point in his life, he's looked at so many other different things. But he said something to me that was unusual this past week. As he sat in my office, he said, you know, he said, it's those crazy people that lay hands on people and speak in tongues. And I got to laughing, and I said, I'm surprised that you would know anything about that. But I said, I have to tell you, I might be one of those crazy people. And I said, I know you didn't know that about me. But I said, the thing is that for everything that's real, Travis, the devil has a counterfeit. For everything real, there's a counterfeit. And you got to know what the real thing is. So as a Baptist boy, and my dad ordained 50 years, Southern Baptist minister, I would listen, you know, I couldn't help but listen because our home wasn't, you know, that large. And mom and dad never shared that much with us. It's just when we needed to pray about certain things, mom and dad would come to us and say, you know, we have this need and we want to ask you and Carol being my younger sister, we want to ask you to pray. And we would really pray. I'm not talking we would just say a prayer. I mean, we would really pray. Because there were a couple times I've told you, shared with you in my life before, where we sat down to a table and we thanked the Lord for the food we were about to eat. One time we had no food. One time we had no bottle gas in our single wide trailer that we would have been able to actually cook if we had food, but we didn't have food. And both times my dad reminded the Lord, Lord, you've called us. And David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. And I know that you're going to provide for us. So we are going to sit here and we're going to give you thanks for what we're about to eat. Now, twice this happened to me in my life. One time it was a family member who showed up at the door with a meal. Another time there was a knock at the door, sort of a timid knock. And my dad went to the door and there was a little lady. We'd never met her before. And she said she lived down the dirt road that we lived down. And she said she was stirring these beans over a stove. And she said she heard a voice speak to her from God and say, take these beans to the heads. And she said, well, I don't know who the heads are. And she remembered seeing on our mailbox there down that dirt road, that dirt driveway down to our single wide trailer, there was on the mailbox, Whispering Pines, the heads. And she remembered that. And so timidly she came and she said, I know this sounds funny, but she said, I heard a voice say, bring these beans to you. And she said, I'm being obedient. What you preached on this morning, I'd be obedient. I don't know anything else. My dad began to weep. He said, you'll never understand what you just did for me and my family, but we've already blessed the food that we're about to eat. We had no way of cooking, and we had no food. God is always faithful. So I felt very good in my church. I loved my church wherever we'd go, but wherever we'd go with Dad and my mother, we'd run into people of all different people from different cultures and different countries, different denominations. And I'm going to tell you something that blew my mind. When we started, you know, you mentioned this morning, when the Catholics started coming. And, you know, back in the 70s, you know, there were still nuns that wore the habit, you know. And so, you know, priests and nuns would show up at meetings with my dad that they would have. And Dad would always make sure that they knew Jesus the way that we knew Jesus. The reality of the knowledge of who Jesus was as Savior and Lord. But once he knew that, then he would pray with them. And I have seen Catholic priests like you have come into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I've witnessed that, but I didn't understand it. And I'm just a boy growing up. But I remember that usually after dark, people from our church who had needs that we weren't aware of, but they would come into our house, and Mom and Dad would say, all right, children, you go to bed. And we'd hear them, and we'd hear them praying, and we'd hear. And then it wouldn't be too long before, you know, sometimes some of those Baptists, those very shy Baptist women, they came in so burdened. And I'm going to tell you something. When they touched Jesus, when Jesus touched them, they started shouting. And boy, I tell you, that got my attention. That really got my attention. It was like my antenna, you know, they were up, and I was saying, what is this? What meaneth this? And there were times that I saw sick people in our midst, and then they'd come to our house, and Mom and Dad would pray for them, and then after that, they weren't sick any longer. And so it wasn't until I was a teenager, and I was in a very bad place, 13, 14 years of age, and I didn't know. Mom and Dad just did not share with us. I guess they didn't want the kids. You know, we'd witness these things, and when we were not at our church, we would be anywhere up the East Coast, different states, and I'd be in these meetings, and I'd witness these things, and I'd see healings and see miracles, and it was just always astounding, and I was really impacted by that, but there came a place where, in my life, I really reached a low point, and, you know, we're talking about 13, 14 years of age, and I Mom and Dad, they were just always involved with so many other people. I don't know that they, I just think they just felt like, well, we're getting what we needed, but somehow I wasn't. And so one night I'd thought of something really terrible. I really believe it was the enemy, that I'd really thought of something very terrible. And I'd even acquired something and I had a plan in my mind. And my dad, I was just really, you talk about being depressed. It was all over me. And my dad, we were eating dinner, I'll never forget, my dad was eating across from me, and he put his fork down, and he looked up at me, and he said, the Lord told me, and what he told me was exactly what was in my heart. And he said, he also told me that what you need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, I don't know what that is. But if that's what God says that I need, that's what I want. So I went into the living room where we had, back then we had velour furniture. Did anyone remember velour furniture? Mother in her great room, it was not velvet, but it was like velour. And there was this white chair with all these buttons. And I remember they would have people sit in that chair and they would pray over them. They would, you know, pray over them. And then incredible things would happen. And so that night, I said, I don't know what it is, but if God says that I need it, I want it. And I remember going into there, that living room, and I remember sitting in that chair, and I remember my mom and dad praying over me. And I'm telling you, y'all, All I can say is that when you ask God for something, He'll give it to you. And I wasn't worried about what would come or what I needed or what would happen. It didn't matter. I just wanted what God had for me. And I asked Him and He filled me. When He filled me, a beautiful language began to just flow out of me. And I've used that language so many times, and you don't hear me. You know, you don't hear me. I mean, we've been in, you know, we've had big churches and a lot of people. And we've seen a lot of things. But I'm thankful. You know, the Bible does says building yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And I've really come to understand what that is. It's a beautiful thing. But to have the Holy Ghost inside of you. I'm going to tell you something. When you ask God for something, He'll give it to you. So with that being said, I'll just tell you one more thing. When I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, my greatest desire in my life was to be able to sing with my family. My family, they were singers. My mom and dad, and we would sing everywhere we'd go. My sister had a beautiful voice, but I could not sing. And Dad said, son, you just have to face the fact you cannot sing, and we don't want you singing as loud as you sing. And we don't want you really singing with us. And I remember being in the glee club in seventh grade, and I was very enthused about being, but my director said, you know, you have a beautiful voice when you whisper. And I want you to whisper as we sing, you whisper. And that gives us, it makes us better when you do that. It's that special something. And so I would whisper. And I would go up to Marietta High School, walk up from Keith, the old Keith, up to Marietta High School where I'd be picked up. And I would hang out with the choral director up there, and I told him how much I wanted to be in his choir, and so I talked him into coming to one of our programs, and he did. He showed up, and that day I saw him, and I was so enthused that he was sitting there that I was so enthused I sang at the top of my lungs, and after it was over, he said to me, you know, you can't be in my choir, and it really devastated me, because that's really the one thing I wanted to do is to be, I wanted to sing. It just, I wanted to sing. There's something in my heart, but when it came out, it just wasn't good. But I found out after I was baptized in the Holy Ghost that He didn't just fill me, but He gave me a talent. And I began to sing, and I was a part of a choir. And in 6 months, I was singing with Robert Shaw in the Atlanta Symphony Chorus. In 6 months, with a choir, adjunct choir with them. And that was an incredible experience in my life. God changed my life in a moment. He filled me to full and overflowing. And so I just say this to you. You know, we got a lot of preconceived ideas of what has to happen when you ask God for something and you say, well, you know, I know those Pentecostals, you know, they're kind of nutty and crazy. And I know, you know, you might look at me and say, well, you know, he worships the Lord a little loud, but I'm just a worshiper. I always have been a worshiper. I've led worship all my life. There's a song in my heart. It gave me a song, but it gave me a voice to sing. And I'm telling you, and so it touches me that my little grandson is so sensitive to the things of God. And look back Thursday night and see him raising his hands with his eyes closed. He wasn't doing it for anybody, but he had his hands up like this. It just touched my heart. He's some way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. So that's really why we sang it this morning. But I just want you to know that I preached to you for several weeks now. And now we're at the 50th day. And I want to recap, and I want to take you to a place where it's going to be a short sermon. I'm going to leave it with you. But I want us to understand a little bit more about Pentecost 2025. So I want to say good morning, Westbrook. It's good to be with you. And I want to remind you of a theme you touched on it this morning. That last part is so difficult to understand. And that last part, I almost changed that because, you know, it was just so. But this is how I started it. I said, and you can say it with me. So no cross, no crown, right? No suffering. We're talking about the Passion of the Christ here. No suffering, no glory. No death, no life. No passion, the Passion of the Christ. No passion, no Pentecost, where we stand today remembering. No passion, no Pentecost. No weeping, no joy. No sorrow, no rejoicing. And this is the kicker. You cited this morning. No tribulation, no entering into the kingdom of God. Wow, that's been the hardest thing for me. That really struck me. I go back to Acts, what we used as the scripture for for this series that we've been teaching you over these 50 days. Acts 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. You've written it down before. But listen to me as I repeat here the words of Dr. Luke. He says, "The former treatise or report or account that I've made, O Theophilus," meaning friends of God or friend of God. So I'll read it like this. "The former report that I've made unto you, O friends of God, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up," we just talked about that, "after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself," and I love these words, these four words, say it with me, "alive after his passion." Say it with me, "alive after his passion." Hallelujah. "And by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Hallelujah. What a powerful scripture. So that's the basis of the text that we use to formulate this series. It was a three-part series, and I hope you got a lot out of it. I don't know, Robbie, if you can leave that up on the website. I don't know if it's possible to leave that or not, but have access to it. Oh, good. I think that's a good series for people. So I want you to understand it was the Spirit itself, the Spirit himself testified, say that with me, say the Spirit testified hundreds of years beforehand of the passion of the Christ. Now think about that. The Spirit testified hundreds of years beforehand of the passion of the Christ. They saw it long before it ever happened. It's amazing, amazing that the prophets foretold, the prophets saw, the prophets got a glimpse, only a glimpse of what would happen to the Messiah. What would happen when God sent his son? Well, prophets such as Moses, Isaiah, Daniel, and David, and Zechariah, they saw clearly that the Messiah was that he was to suffer and he would die. And they also foretold, and the King James says it like this, the glory that should follow. I want you to think about that for a minute. The glory that should follow. With all the passion, all that Jesus would go through, that there was glory to follow. I want you to say that. Say, the glory that should follow. Well, that is that they saw that there would be glory, which would be the result of his sufferings, the passion of the Christ. But they themselves could not clearly see what it would be. They had some knowledge that he would be raised from the dead. They knew that he would, as Isaiah 53:11, if you're writing down, you can write down Isaiah 53:11. Isaiah says that he would see of the travail of his soul and would be satisfied. So they understood that. That's in code, but that's exactly what would happen. They just didn't understand it. They got a glimpse of it, but weren't able to understand. Now, I want you to know something. And let me just interject this. Moses, when Moses saw the glory of God, God didn't allow him to see all of his glory because Moses couldn't live seeing all of the glory of God. So what did God do? He covered his eyes or covered his face to a degree that the Bible tells us he only saw the hind parts of God. And so, you know, that might be mysterious to you about how Moses was just able to see the hind parts. But Moses wrote the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible. He wrote the history for us. In fact, he wrote the book of Job for us. You know, he saw the hind parts are the history of things, and yet if he were to see the full glory of God, he couldn't be in this body. Now that's Old Testament. Go to New Testament, and I'm going to tell you something. With the birthing of the church through the Holy Ghost, it brings us into a new dimension, and we are called to reflect his glory, to walk in his glory, to know his glory, and I believe that we'll even touch his glory. You know, there's something about, I was being raised up in a home, you know, missionary evangelist like I was, and a pastor's home. I realized, you know, I was, keep in mind about a little boy being, you know, raised up where there were times in my life, I think we went to church 7 nights a week. I mean, we were somewhere. If it was under a brush arbor, or it was a camp meeting where there was sawdust all over the floors. My dad used to lay his coat on the sawdust, and I remember, you know, going to sleep on my dad's coat there while the services were still going, because they would go, I'm telling you, they go on after midnight. People, as long as people were being healed, they were hungry, they're being baptized in the Holy Ghost, they're being saved and delivered. I'm telling you, they just stayed, and that's how I was raised. Well, I just believe that I was raised up in an environment where I just saw the glory of God, witnessed the glory of God, touched the glory of God, but I didn't experience the glory of God for me until I asked Him to fill me with His presence, fill me with the Holy Ghost, and He did. And so I want to tell you, there's more. There's no way to push someone into this, and I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that supersedes your salvation. That I'm telling you, that salvation experience, that is the most important thing. But I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost points the way to Jesus. He's pointing the way to Jesus. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. I don't think that the church can do what it's called to do today without the power, being endued with power from upon high by the Holy Ghost. I just don't see how it happens. So let me jump. I know I digressed there. I apologize. But I want you to know that they also had a few glimpses of the effects of the gospel on the nations of the earth. But there were many different things, respecting his sufferings and glorification, which they did not, they could not understand. So Peter preaches powerfully on the day of Pentecost. They are up in the upper room. They don't know what to expect. They're there, one mind, one spirit, one accord. They're just there in obedience to what Jesus says. They're waiting for something. They have no idea what he is, what it's going to happen, who the comforter is, how it affects their lives. They're just there waiting, and God fills them to full and overflowing. And they empty out of that room. The people all around, they hear this sound, and they know that something's going on. And these people empty out of the upper room, and Peter, you can say whatever you want about Peter. Peter was bold. Peter loved Jesus. I know Peter denied Jesus 3 times, just like Jesus told him he would. It surprised even Peter himself didn't believe that he could ever deny the Christ. But he did, because when they saw Jesus going through from Gethsemane, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane and the trials, and then all the way to the cross, I'm telling you, their existing paradigm was shattered. It was crushed. But a new limitless paradigm was being established. And they would come into that after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, after the Pentecost and the birthday of the church. So they spill out, and Peter preaches this great sermon. And I want to say something about the sermon. How many remember in the Old Testament that David couldn't build the great temple of God, the temple, but his son Solomon would do that? And Solomon did something unique. He built a pool that some 3,000 could bathe in at one time. Or 3,000 people could get in it at one time. Everyone say type and shadow. I want you to think of Old Testament. It's so important to us. It's type and shadow. It teaches us. It instructs us. But I want you to think of Old Testament more like scaffolding that's used to build a, you know, how many saw pictures of the Notre Dame in Paris that after it burned, and it was just when they erected the huge scaffolds all around that thing, and they it's really been restored. It's just incredible. But there came a time when that all the scaffolding was removed because the work was finished, and that's Old Testament, New Testament. Okay, so we don't need the scaffolding like we have the real thing. We've got the real thing now. So that's just a little extra. I won't charge any extra for that. But Peter preaches powerfully concerning the passion of Jesus Christ and his glory to follow. This is very important that you get this. The passion is important, but there is glory to follow. And ladies and gentlemen, I would say that the Church of Jesus Christ, I think what Jesus is doing today, I think it's going to take us past the denominations that are man-made walls that tend to separate us. I think we're getting to a place where it's going to say, We love each other. If you're lifting up Jesus, I'm with you, brother. I'm just with you, and we're going to be doing great things. And I think that we're going this time, and Pastor, you said that this morning, this time you said, Mario Murillo, so this time is going to be marked by signs, miracles, and wonders, and things like we've never seen before. And I think that's exactly what we're about to see. We will not do that. You cannot manufacture that. I know that now there are people who, they do funny things, and I'm gonna tell you something. Remember, for everything real, there's a counterfeit. And I'm gonna tell you something. There are people who operate with miracles, and I'm gonna tell you, if the devil can put something on you, he can take it off. He loves confusion. Remember, he always takes a little bit of truth and then throws something in there to twist it just a little bit so that it's no longer the truth and mess with people's minds. So the key is, have a heart for Jesus. Have a heart for all things God. And you ought to be actively praying, Lord, I hear Pastor talking about the Holy Ghost. I know I need something more in my life. And I'm asking you, fill me with what he's talking about. Lord, I'm asking you to fill me to full and overflowing because I need it. And I need to be filled and refilled. How are we refilled? By God. He fills us. But then he pours us out. He uses us. What happens then? Then he fills us again. And then he begins to pour us out into other vessels once again until we're empty. And then he fills us again and fills us again and fills us again. You see, I think that too often we think of coming to Jesus, it's just a one-time thing. It's just one and done. I got my ticket punched to heaven. And then we just, you know, did you say this morning something I wrote down about that sometimes we get to a place where we think it's just something we have to do? I wrote it down. How did you put it this morning? That we just, it's just something we have to do. We show up to church because it's just something we feel like we have to do. I tell you, the days of that need to be behind us. We need to, first of all, come with high praise and worship and shouting and telling the Lord how faithful we know that he is. And I mean, when you're in the valley, shout all the more. You know, it was after David, you know, David asked God, even after he had failed God, he asked him to spare his son. God did not spare his son. And after that, he kind of shed himself of his royal garments and he began to dance and people thought he had gone mad. But he knew that God had answered. And he didn't answer in the way, but he was determined to praise God anyway. Well, anyway, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2. I want to read New King James Version beginning in verses 22 and going through 33. And then we'll end after this. Peter says, men of Israel, hear these words. Are you there, Acts 2, 22 through 33? Everybody there? Peter says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. And then he turns and he says, you have taken by lawless hand. Have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Hallelujah! Verse 25, for David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. And this is concerning Jesus. David is now prophesying about what Jesus himself would say. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will rest in hope. Verse 27, for you will not leave my soul in Hades. Somebody ought to shout to God. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Verse 29. Men and brethren, Let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath, or with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, David, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Now that was a powerful testimony. This Jesus, God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, or the King James says, Holy Ghost, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Now I want you to listen to this. The passion of Jesus gave rise to the resurrection, which led to the ascension 40 days later, whereby Jesus was glorified, and then it culminated on the 50th day of the outpouring of his Spirit upon expectant worshipers. I'm telling you, this work was prophesied, and then it was experienced. And the reason that this is important is because it marked the birthday of the church. Now listen, you can get all nervous. Pastors, the three of us, we've all witnessed flesh glorifying itself in the sight of God. In fact, how many times have we been in a service where the Holy Spirit is moving among the congregation, and then you have somebody moving the flesh, and they want that flesh to be so glorified, they want to be seen, and all of a sudden they step out and they do something, and it just, boom, it just, and you have to take authority over that and say, you're out of order, you're going to have to sit down, and then we continue to minister in the Spirit. How many times, we've seen that, and we don't like that. And if I'm to be honest with you, there is part of me that would say I'd rather not see it at all than to have to deal with that in my service. But I want to tell you the flip side of that. How many have ever said, I've been so hurt in my life, I'm never going to love again. I'm never going to love again. I'm never going to trust. No, I'm never going to do that. Well, the fact is, you can't really ever love again unless you make yourself vulnerable and unless you trust, because life will serve up a lot of hurt. And you can say, I'm going to protect my... I mean, that's just part of what we do. I'm going to protect myself. But if protecting ourselves means that we close ourselves up, then we really are... We can never know love again. Well, the same way in the Spirit. The same way in the Spirit. Now, let me just get a couple things. If to get rid of flesh, we limit the move of the Holy Spirit, we're worse off. So what do? One mind, one spirit and accord. We come in. We're not shaken by those that would do something that's different. Because sometimes the Lord works through something that's different. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we need to be shaken up. And sometimes it's someone that be sent in, they do something different. You need to listen to, and you need to be led by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you something. This mind is at enmity with our spirit, this one with the Spirit of God. And sometimes we've got to say, okay, but we never park our intellect there in the narthex before we come into the sanctuary. We don't separate our intellect. God wants this to be renewed, our minds to be renewed, and then we're led by the Spirit. But you have to be open. And I'm going to tell you something. I trust God for this. So I want to tell you, there's something beautiful about the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that there are 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Right? There are 9. Now, the Bible also tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10, that there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that something? That there are not, you'll see 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit, and you have 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many long to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit manifest in our life? Wouldn't you love, joy, peace? Is that not important? Thank God for that. But now there are 9 gifts. Those gifts only come after you are full of the Holy Ghost. They just don't flow in our lives any other way. It reads like this. For to one, I want you to count these. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Everyone say word of wisdom. To another is the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Everyone say the word of knowledge. Now the interesting thing about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge is they work in tandem with each other. Now the reason that's important is this. Sometimes the Lord will reveal to you something through the gift or the word of knowledge. The Lord will give you, and see, you want these gifts to operate in your life. But sometimes you'll have the word of knowledge reveal to you something about someone standing in front of you. And it's very foolish. It's a very foolish thing if you just blurt that out, because that person may not need to hear it. God may have shown that to you so you do nothing else but begin to minister to that person. And you bring them along so that they come to understanding what they need. So everyone say word of knowledge. Is important. It's important. Why does that work in tandem with the word of wisdom? Because sometimes when the Lord reveals to you something, like say that Miss Tammy comes to me and the Lord speaks to me about something that I need to pray about for her. Well, then the word of wisdom is there so that I know how to handle it. I know what to say. You know, the word of knowledge reveals what's there, but the word of wisdom is like, so you see why those gifts are important. They work in tandem together. I just want you to see, ladies and gentlemen, there's so much more than where we are. And we want you to experience what we've experienced. But listen, you don't do it if you're fearful and if you're not ready. And so I want to keep going. Everyone say the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. To another, faith. Everyone say faith. Faith is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, workings of miracles. And remember, for everything that's real, there's a counterfeit. I remember a great evangelist, a huge name evangelist, and some of you were in that church. That guy came, John Wesley Fletcher, and the pastor at that time was warned not to have him. And the pastor stayed away. He was so angry. He stayed away and didn't attend the services. But he said, no one's going to tell me what to do. And he let that man come. And that man was operating. And he had these healing miracles. And I remember he stood right on the second row. And I had a busted blood vessel around my vocal cords. And I wasn't supposed to talk for 6 weeks. Couldn't sing. And I was seated there. I was not involved in the service. I was seated there, and he was standing here, and the Lord said to me, this man, and I don't want to shake you, but he began to tell me who this man was, and I don't want to go into it. Evil, evil, evil man. Terrible man. And the Lord began to tell me what this man really was, and when God told me this man was standing beside me, I think he heard the same thing, and he looked at me like he dared me to say one word. Let me tell you something. I called the church the next day, and I talked to the pastor's executive secretary, and she knew me. And I said, I've got to tell you what God showed me last night. She said, let me tell you something. Pastor said, if anyone calls and anyone says anything negative about this evangelist, that they'll be asked to leave the church. And I said, well, that is wrong. Pastor wasn't even there. I said, but I won't speak against him, but I'll tell you, Jerry, that's wrong. She said, well, I'm going to tell you something else. My husband was healed last night in the service. I said, Oh, Jerry. She said, he must be of God. I said, Jerry, if the devil can put something on you, he can take it off. And I remember he prophesied to a woman from Macon, Georgia. And he said to her, your husband's going to die. And after he dies, I'm going to be in your life. And I'm going to help you. When she got home that night, she was visiting in the church. When that woman got home, her husband was dead in the recliner. Now, I'm telling you this to say, for everything that's real, there's a counterfeit. You've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. The Bible says, know those who labor among you. It turns out this man was actually responsible for introducing Jessica Hahn to who's the guy that had PTL? What, James, Jimmy Baker. Yeah. And Pastor Dortch called and begged our pastor not to allow this man in our pulpit. When this woman got home, her husband was dead in a recliner. The evangelist said, your husband's going to die, and I'm going to be. Turns out, this woman was a wealthy woman. In 1 year, he had bilked her out of everything she had. But it wasn't but about 2 years later, this man died. And it came out, and everything that God showed me and told me, it was true. I just couldn't do anything about it. I was not the angel of that church, the pastor, under shepherd to Jesus. I wasn't that. I would become that, but I wasn't then that then. But it's just interesting that for everything real, there's a counterfeit. You got to understand. So word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or you got that right. Faith and gifts of healing, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. So those gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're different than the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Well, listen, when you come to Jesus, you are sealed with the Spirit of promise into the day of redemption. You've got the full measure of what you need in your life. But I want to tell you, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're no longer that vessel that's containing Him. It's like dropping a glass that's full of water into a pool, and that vessel doesn't matter anymore. It's not the containee. It's being contained in itself in a much bigger pool, and that's what happens with it. So I'm saying this to you. I know what you're going through. I know you're going through something, you're going through something, you're going through something, you're going through something. I know you guys are going through something. I know every one of us, we have something that we were saying, God, I can't take it anymore. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God, it wants to bring us into a dimension where we are able to handle these things, because there is great warfare that we are experiencing in this life right now. And to combat that warfare, we've got to be people who move in the Holy Ghost, who move in power, who are endowed with power from upon high. So that leaves me here. I didn't tell you this is a 15-minute sermon, did I? Someone said to me, I heard you say it was a 15-minute, but then when I went online, it was like 46 minutes. Is that what you call 15 minutes? I said, well, but I just want to end here. We've been telling you about what Jesus has done. Mark said something. We've been telling you what Jesus has done. And many of us are waiting on God to do something else. We know that He's put something in me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just speak to that back in Jesus' name. I know it's stress. I know it's tension. I know it's the enemy. And Father, I speak to that back right now in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to that body. I speak healing. And Lord, that has to stop now in Jesus' name. Someone here, I know who it is, and he knows. I'll tell you one more thing, and then we'll close. We were over at D. Kennedy Road, that beautiful church over there, about a couple miles as the crow flies. And I was really having a time with the Lord. And I was saying to Him, Lord, I believe that I've fallen off your heaven's GPS. I don't think you even know where I am. I don't believe my prayers get up above the ceiling of this office. And, you know, we were in session. The school was in session. But we had very few students at that point. And it was tough. It was really hard. And I remember working, bivocationally for the first time in a long time. I remember working that summer, and after I told the Lord that, I was working with a friend in Atlanta, was with Robbie, and I was pulling cable in a huge high rise. And I don't know if you've ever done that or seen that done, but whatever you touch, it just is black, and it's icky, and it gets all over you. I was covered in dirt and filth. And he wanted to take me next door to Sonny's, and he wanted to buy my lunch. I said, there is no way I'm going in any place the way I look. I'm not going to. He said, no, I want to buy you. So I did, and so this waitress kept coming to the table, and she kept filling up our tea, and I said, is she acting strange to you? And he said, yeah, she's acting very strange. And so finally she came over and she said, I've got to say something. She said, is there a minister sitting at this table? Because the Lord told me there's a minister sitting at this table. When I said that, my Methodist friend, he pointed to me. He pointed right across the table and said, he's a minister. And I didn't want to admit it, and she just let me know at that moment, God was saying, I know where you are. I know exactly where you are. After that, the Lord began to say something to me. I'd been saying, Lord, you promised this, and I haven't seen it. Lord, you promised this, and I haven't seen it. Lord, this is something else you promised me, and I haven't seen it. Lord, I'm so frustrated. And the Lord spoke to me, and I, as clearly as can be, I just heard this voice inside, and he said, you know, wouldn't you love the Lord to speak to you more often than, you know, it's very seldom, but the Lord spoke to me and said, you're not waiting on me. I'm waiting on you. It changed my life. I remember going to my mother and I said, Mother, the Lord spoke to me today. And you know, I've been struggling. I've been in pain and I've been saying things to the Lord. I've been upset. And the Lord said to me, when I said, Lord, this, this, and this, the Lord said, you're not waiting on me. I'm waiting on you. And she said, in the 1970s, your dad and I were on our face before God. We were saying the same thing. We're crying out to God, God, you promised this. We haven't seen it. You promised that. And she said, God spoke to us and said, you're not waiting on me. I'm waiting on you. She said, that changed the trajectory of our lives and our ministry. It changed everything. And she said, we began to move in a different place. I say to you this morning that there's been a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was the birthday of the church. And I think that many in the church are waiting on the Lord to do something else. I'm telling you something. The next move involves the Church of Jesus Christ. Moving as covenant men and covenant women, shaking this earth and shaping this earth, and seeing one of the greatest revivals there's ever been before Jesus comes. But I'm going to tell you something. We got to stop saying, I'm waiting on you, Lord. Because he's waiting on us. And it comes down to this. Do you want everything that God has? Because I'm not going to ask you in a place like this because I just don't. Pastor D has the greatest gift to walk people through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's just incredible. It's just incredible. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. And it's just beautiful in your living room. And Russ is witness to it. And my wife's witness to it. And I'll just say this to you, that we've been telling you about the Holy Ghost. And if you're not ready, it's okay. Because if you know Jesus, I'm telling you, that'll take you all the way. But if you want to move in great power, if you're praying for things and nothing's happening, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you need to be changed, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I would say, I can't invite ourselves over, but I know you've always said, if you want us, go to Pastor, go to me, go to Pastor Vince and say, you know, I'm interested in knowing. If there's more, I want it. I want everything God's got. And the quiet of a living room, and we're all of like, because you don't want people who are so skeptical and going in and out, and you don't want that. When we're in the presence of the Lord, we're in the presence of the King, and we're asking for the Holy Ghost to be outpoured and to baptize us, it's a serious matter. It's a beautiful thing. And I'll just say this, on this Pentecost Sunday, and we need a rebirth in the Church of Jesus Christ, if you're hungry for more, there's more. And you can find it. And you can find it in the quiet of a living room, and we'll pray with you. So I just throw that out there. Is that fair, Pastor? So Father, Lord, I thank you for the power. I thank you for all the gifts. I know that, Father, there are those who truly make it something that it shouldn't be, but Lord, I know there's a counterfeit to everything that's real, and we just seek that which is real. We're not going to concern ourselves with the counterfeit. We are looking for the genuine article. And so, Father, we know one thing. When we ask, you will give us what we ask. I believe that. And so, Father, for every hungry heart, every searching individual, every person who's been searching, seeking, asking, knocking, Lord, I pray that they will come into that fullness and their lives will never be the same. And Lord, I wonder what beyond, when the Holy Ghost fills them, I wonder what will happen in their lives as they change. I wonder what they'll be renewed to do. Lord, I just look for that in Jesus' name. Now, Father, fill every hungry heart. Lord, cause us to have divine encounters with you, and we give you praise. Now, for anyone else that's not ready, Lord, we just say, well, it's okay. And Lord, just may this word, may it fill them, may it be planted inside of them, and Father, may it grow, and in due time and due season, may, Lord, that cause a desire to have everything that you have, nothing lacking. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right, well, God bless you. I've really gone long this morning, but it was worth it. All right.